Turn, if you would, to the book of Mark. Mark chapter 5. Most of you may already be there. As Pastor mentioned that passage a little bit ago. Mark 5 from verse 1 down to verse 20. I'm going to read it through here real quickly. Mark 5, 1 to 20. It's a story about national reaching nationals. And they came over onto the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs. And no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains. And the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces. Neither could any man tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him, and cried with a loud voice, and said, What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. For he said unto him, Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And he asked him, What is thy name? And he answered, saying, My name is Legion, for we are many. And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. Now there was there nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding, and all the devils besought him, saying, Send us into the swine, that we may enter into them. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave, and the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. They were about 2,000, and were choked in the sea. And they that fed the swine fled, and told it in the city and in the country, and they went out to see what it was that was done. And they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil, and had the legion sitting, and clothed, and in his right mind, and they were afraid. And they that saw it told them how it befell to him that was possessed with the devil, and also concerning the swine. And they began to pray him to depart out of their coasts. And when he was come into the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, Go home to thy friends, and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee, and hath had compassion on thee. And he departed, and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel. Sorry about my voice, a little bit gravelly. I came to sunny Florida from Wisconsin and got a cold. Imagine with me this evening, though, that instead of being here at Beacon Baptist Church, that you are one of the 12 disciples, that you are there traveling with Jesus. And he says that we're going to go across the sea and go to this region of Decapolis, region of 10 cities. And so you're probably an experienced fisherman. You know how to row boats well. You go across the sea. You counter the storm, as you see in the previous chapter. But you get to the other side of the sea, and you get out of the boat, and this crazy person comes running at you. What would you do? I know what I'd do. I'd get back in the boat and go back home. Or maybe I'd say, let's go around this way and see if we can get out of here and go to our cities without him harassing us, without him disturbing us. That's not what the disciples did it. That's not what Jesus did there. And we're going to look through the story here. But first of all, let's look at this man. Who was this man who was crazy? Who was this crazy person? There, verse number 2, it says, they met him out of the tombs, a man with an unclean spirit. So first of all, we see he was possessed with these demons. And you look at verse number 9, Jesus asks him, What is thy name? And he answers, saying, My name is Legion, for we are many. A legion, that's about 1,000. And so he has about 1,000 demons possessing him. That's a big problem, isn't it? That's a huge problem. I don't think any of us in this room have ever had 1,000 demons possessing us. I hope not. He's had a problem that's bigger than any of our problems that we've ever faced. There's three things in this man's life I'd like to look at this evening. If you have a piece of paper, I'd like you to write three things down throughout the message. If you have a tablet, write that instead. That's fine as well. I'm a millennial, so I understand that. Three questions that I want you to ask yourself. And we're going to apply it at the end, these three questions. Question number one is this. What was I like before I was saved? So write number one, write this question down. What was I like before I was saved? So if you have a chance, write that down real quick. This man here possesses 1,000 demons. He had a huge problem. Really no hope, no human hope was left for him. He lived in a place of the dead. He was literally no better than a dead person. There was, however, one good thing he had. One good thing was that he had some friends. How do I know that? Well, if you look at verse 19, Jesus says, go home to thy friends. He has a few friends. I don't know who they were, but he has friends. And probably, in my imagination at least, these were the same friends who probably went out there and caught him and tied him up. They probably saw him out there hurting himself, cutting himself with stones, and terrorizing the countryside. And they said, well, let's go help him out a little bit. Let's go tie him up. Let's tie him up in these chains to keep him from hurting himself, to keep him from hurting other people. So they tie him up, and guess what happens? Those demons give him the strength. He breaks the chains and run right back to his problem. So his friends say, let's go try it again. Let's try some stronger chains. So they go out there, catch him again, bring him back, tie him up with some bigger chains. And guess what happens? He breaks those chains and runs right back to his problem. And so they do it again. And again, I don't know how many times. It says there it was more than once. And so he's out there with literally no hope. His friends tried to give him a human solution that even if it had worked, it really wouldn't have helped the core issue. You know, on our day today, we have a problem. Lots of problems, I understand, but the main problem that's worldwide is that problem of sin. It's a worldwide problem that we all have. And there's really no human solution for it. You know, there's a lot of human solutions that have been put out there to try to solve the problem. Probably the biggest one is the solution of religion. Anywhere in the world you go today and you talk to somebody and you ask, what's your purpose of religion? It'll come out most likely that the purpose of doing their religion is to get rid of their sin, to get rid of that problem. Let me ask you, does that work? Does church get rid of your sin? Does doing good things get rid of your sin? Obviously not. We understand that here at Beacon Baptist. Some people might say, oh, I tried religion, that doesn't work. So I'm just going to forget about God. I'm going to forget about my problem and pretend it doesn't exist. Is that a good solution? No, it doesn't take care of the problem either. Some people say, well, I'll just live my own life. I'll enjoy it, and whatever happens, happens. That's not a real solution either. But those are solutions that people go to in our world to forget about sin or take care of their sin or whatever, and it doesn't work. Just like this man, he had solutions that didn't work. Going forward here, what is the answer to that problem? Verse number 6, but when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped. And the only answer to this man's problem was Jesus. The only answer to the problem of sin in our world is Jesus. He's the only way. He's the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So when Jesus shows up, this man runs to him, and instead of being afraid, Jesus addresses the problem, and he says, come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And we know the demons there, they're asking Jesus, well, can you please send us into the swine? And so he says, sure, you can go into the swine. So he allows them to, he casts out the demon out of this man, and he allows them to go into the swine. And guess what happens to the swine? They run down the mountain into the sea, and they all drown. 2,000, that's a lot, isn't it? Quick story, my brother-in-law, who grew up on a farm in Iowa, one day he was practicing his French horn. He didn't know how to play French horn, but he was trying to play, I should say. And if you know how French horn sounds and you don't know how to play, it sounds pretty bad. So he was in the house playing it, and his sister got mad at him, chased him out of the house. So he goes outside and starts to play his French horn, and guess what happens? The pigs get scared. And he has, I don't think they had more than 100, probably less than 100 pigs on the farm, but they get scared, they stampede, and they run right through the brand new fence. And they shear the railroad tie posts right off of the ground. That's just less than 100 pigs. Think about 2,000. That's a lot. That's just to give you a little bit of picture of the violence that took place here. But anyway, you see there in verse number 14, they that fed the swine, they fled. They ran and told it in the city. I would have run too if I saw those 2,000 pigs running. They ran and fled and told it in the city, told everyone they saw what was happening out there in the seaside. And everyone comes out. Everyone that heard what had happened, they say, what in the world's going on out there? Something we don't understand. Something about pigs running to the sea. Something about this man being healed. I don't know. So they ran out to the sea to see what was going on. And they come there and they see this. This is what they see. Verse number 15, something amazing. They come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with a devil and had the legion sitting and clothed in his right mind. Everyone knew who this man was. Anytime they go out to that part of the country, they hear him screaming. They knew the stories of him being tied up. They knew there was no answer for him. They'd given up on him. And so when they see him there sitting in his right mind, think, what in the world is going on? Our entire livelihood has been destroyed. This man who has had this huge problem, who has no answer, he's sitting there in his right mind. What is going on? It says they were afraid. I'd be afraid too. If I saw something happen that I did not understand, something beyond my comprehension. And so what they do, they pray him to depart out of their coast. They chase him out of town because they didn't understand him. Now, at this moment in time, Satan's probably rejoicing. He's probably saying, oh, I've won another victory. Yes, I've got Jesus out of town. He can't come through here anymore because they all think he destroyed their livelihood. So he's probably thinking, I just scored a victory. Sure, I lost one person. He's healed. But this entire city's been cut off to Jesus now. So it's a great victory supposedly happened there for the enemy. But going on here, let's see what happens. Let's see who really did win. Verse 18, when he was come into the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. So this man who'd just been healed asked Jesus, Jesus, can I please come with you? Is that a good request? Absolutely it is. Don't you want to be with Jesus? Don't you want to learn from his word? You ought to. Don't you want to come to church every time the doors are open? You should. Because Jesus has taken care of our problem of sin. And that's who we ought to want to be with. That's who we ought to want to learn from. That's who we ought to want to talk about. And so that's exactly what happened to this man. But what did Jesus tell him in this situation? Jesus said, verse 19, he suffered him not, did not allow him to, but said unto him, go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee. What friends was Jesus talking about? Maybe those friends who tied him up? Those friends who knew that there was absolutely no answer to this man's problem? The friends who tried to help him but failed? Maybe those friends. Tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion on thee. And he departed and went home and found a job and lived the rest of his life comfortably. That's not a bad thing to live comfortably. I enjoy comfort sometimes. I enjoy comfort all the time, I should say. Anyway, it's not what it says. It says here, he went and began to preach. To preach in the region of Decapolis, this region of 10 cities. How great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel. They couldn't fathom what happened to this man that everyone knew was demon-possessed. The story doesn't end here. Go over to chapter 7. Chapter 7, verse 31. We're going to see who really wins. Acts 7, verse 31. And again, departing, talking about Jesus, departing from the coast of Tyre and Sidon, he came unto the Sea of Galilee, through the midst of the coast of Decapolis. So this, again, it's the same area. And they bring unto him one that was deaf and had an impediment in his speech. I feel like I have an impediment in my speech right now. And they beseech him to put his hand upon him. And so Jesus heals this man, this one man. Go over to Matthew 15, if you would. Matthew chapter 15. It's the parallel passage of Mark chapter 7. And it goes into a little bit more detail of what happened when Jesus came back through town. You noticed in Mark 7 how he went through the coast of Tyre and Sidon. So you see here in Matthew 15, verse 21. Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. So you see the parallels there. And it gives some detail about what happened in those towns. And verse 29, he says, Jesus departed from thence, from Tyre and Sidon, and came nigh into the Sea of Galilee. And it doesn't specifically say Decapolis right here, but comparing it to Mark, the passage of Mark and passage here in Matthew, we understand this is the same region. He went up into a mountain and sat down there. In verse 30, and great multitudes came unto him, having with them those that were lame, blind, dumb, maimed, and many others, and cast them down at Jesus' feet, and he healed them, insomuch that the multitudes wondered when they saw the dumb to speak, the maimed to behold, the lame to walk, and the blind to see, and they glorified the God of Israel. What caused the change? Last time he was there, they chased him out of town. This time they welcome him, and multitudes flocked to see him. What caused the change? It was one man. One man's changed life. Reached an entire 10 cities for Jesus. How many people has your life led to Jesus? Second question I want you to write down here. Number two, leave a little space underneath number one. Number two, write this question: how did I get saved? And number three, leave a little space. Write the third question down. How has my life changed since I was saved? How has my life changed since I was saved? So question number one should be, what was I like before I was saved? Question two should be, how did I get saved? And question three should be, how has my life changed since I was saved? We saw these three things in this man's life. He was demon-possessed. Jesus came and cast those demons out. Now he's out there preaching and brings 10 cities to Jesus. Those are his three things. Before he was saved, how he got saved, how has his life changed? My story is this. My story in about 30 seconds. I grew up in a Christian home. Pretty good kid, but I had a problem of anger. One evening, my dad asked me if I knew I was on my way to heaven. I told him no. And he explained the gospel to me that evening I made a decision to trust only in Jesus Christ alone to save me. Since then, I've not been perfect, but Jesus has taken away my anger. But most importantly, he has given me eternal life. That's my story. You see the three things. What was I like before I was saved? I gave one specific thing of how God has changed my life, like anger. I got saved when I was 11 years old, and then how God has changed my life. Let me challenge you, those three things that you've written down. What was my life like before I was saved? How did I get saved? And how has my life changed since I was saved? This evening, if you go home, write a sentence or two underneath each one of those points. And then this week, tell your testimony to three people. Maybe if you're out door knocking, going door to door. Perhaps you have grocery shopping to do, you go through line, you can tell it to the cashier. Perhaps you can, somebody at work. You know, let me ask you a question. How long do you have when you're going through a grocery line? Not long. 30 seconds maybe? So if you can give your testimony about 30 seconds, if you can practice, get it that short, you can give your testimony to somebody, maybe pull out a tract from your pocket. Say, can I give this to you? It talks about how you can have that same relationship with Jesus. Right? This is how you can get saved. This is how you can go to heaven. Maybe if you're out door knocking. You know, I've gone out door knocking and I've had doors shut in my face. We've all experienced that, I'm sure. You know, if the door is open long enough for me to get into my testimony, I don't remember any case where the door was closed in my face while I was giving my testimony. They always leave it open for a story about what God's doing in your life. And almost in every case I give my testimony, I've at least been able to give them a tract, if not go further into the gospel. And God uses your story to open doors for the gospel. And this man, he's opened 10 cities. It may not be 10 cities for you. Maybe it's one neighbor. Maybe it's 10 houses. Maybe it's somebody at work. We challenge you, go back home, write your testimony down. Those three things. Get it so we can say it in about 30 seconds and give it to three people this week. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for this service and ask that you would give us the boldness this week. I know it's not easy to have that boldness to share my testimony to three people. But I ask that you give all of us boldness this week to share the gospel, to share our testimonies, and that you would open the door for further witness to those people we give our testimony to. Give us the boldness, Lord, we ask in your name. Amen.
On behalf of everyone at Beacon Baptist Church, we thank you for joining us today. Our prayer is that your heart and life has been impacted through the biblical truths of this message. If you have questions or would like more information, please contact us through our website at beaconbaptistchurch.org. That's beaconbaptistchurch.org. May the Lord bless you.